Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha, welcome to Talking Pictures. We're here today to continue our mini post-Oscars week wrap, where we've had director Miles Doliak on, we've had visual effects artist Josh Lang and his mom, one of my favorite film buffs to talk to, Erin Murphy. Yesterday we were able to take a look at the Oscars and discuss some of the diversity and some of the documentary nominees with a number of film fatales from New York. And today we're going to be talking with Sean Piccinino, who is an accomplished writer, producer, director, stunt coordinator. I've met Sean a few years ago at a film festival. Always been a nice guy, always gracious, has that great quality where he remembers what you're up to. And this is a business where, you know, you meet so many people and it's so hard to keep track of what people are doing. So I always have that little part of me where I really appreciate when someone remembers that we've met. And I, of course, return the same. Today we're going to be, you know, what we've done is just been, I have the Oscars here, the complete list of nominees, and of course who the winners were, and we just kind of go through some of the categories. And I our producing team came up with this idea because we wanted to just see how do people feel after the Oscars. We see this with baseball, football, basketball. They always have those rap shows, and since I'm someone who doesn't understand sports besides baseball, I thought this would be really cool if we could have a way where we get to see who really was a fan of this performance, or who really thought this should have won Best Picture. And there's so many different things to discuss. We're not going to address the diversity thing or the race thing. This show is about films and people. We don't see race or creed, religion, color. So we're going to spend time enjoying the positive aspects of the Oscars, the fun aspects, which is the movies, which is why there is the Oscars. The Oscars many times has been used as a social platform, but for me, it's not. It's a place to celebrate the films that got made. The films can be the ones that get political. So with that, I'm just going to share a couple of my quick opinions as I was waiting for Sean to call in here. I was really excited with the supporting actor category going to Mark Rylance with Bridge of Spies. I'm not the biggest Sylvester Stallone fan. I feel like his contribution to cinema has just been a ton of sequels. And I didn't think, I understood why he was nominated for the first Rocky. I did understand why he was nominated for Creed. But Mark Rylance in Bridge of Spies is just so simple, way harder than grandiose. And what a category. I mean, Christian Bale in The Big Short, Tom Hardy in The Revenant, Mark Ruffalo was superb in Spotlight. And then, of course, Sylvester Stallone. Probably one of the only films I've seen where I could say Stallone was excellent in. So that really tells you the directing, the writing, and the other part of the story that came with it that contributed to Stallone. Another thing that I really enjoyed was I had the chance, and it's on Netflix, so please take a look at it. It's called Last Day of Freedom, and it's streaming. It's a documentary short subject. It didn't win. It was a nominee, but it's up there, and usually we don't get to see the shorts or the animation shorts. Sometimes we don't get to, we do usually don't get to see the documentary. Usually, sometimes they'll play the foreign films here or there. If you live in LA, you have a lot more access to that stuff. Short live action film, of course, you don't really get to see. So this was really great that this was up on Netflix. I received a PR announcement. They were looking for interviews, and they gave me permission to let people know so people could see this film and at least know something that was in that category. Since we're all just looking at the five big ones when we watch the Oscars. Also, another one you can find on Netflix in the documentary category. This was a brilliant documentary. I have to Google. Hold on, Sean's calling in. One sec. Aloha, Sean. Welcome. Are you with us?
I am. How's it going?
Good, good. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it today.
No problem, no problem.
Yeah, I was just wrapping up the letting people know that one of the documentary short nominees is available on Netflix called Last Day of Freedom. And then, of course, one of the documentary feature nominees, What Happened, Miss Simone, about the wonderful artist Nina Simone,
Oh
is
yeah,
also.
she's great.
Oh, sorry?
Oh, I think, oh yeah, she was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, brilliant. I love hearing her because it's like, I love hearing any artist after her because it's like, oh, Nina Simone.
Yeah.
That's so normally now when we don't get to see some of these docs or shorts, that's what I had mentioned before you came on, Sean. Here's your chance to at least get to see two of them. We'll kind of go in a random order here because we'd like to let the guests go into either what they liked or what they feel upsets were. They can kind of pick a category. So with obviously screenplay, director, where would you like to start? And feel free to start the floor, Sean.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess we could start with The Revenant. I really think that was an amazing film, and I'm not sad with Leo's nomination and win there. I think he really put everything he possibly could into that performance. But just like anything, is the movie perfect? No. Is his performance perfect? No. But I just really respect what he did with that performance, and I respect the director. I think his eye was just unbelievable. The cinematography just blew me away in that movie, and of course the performances and the subject matter. And I really enjoyed seeing, even in the opening kind of battle scene that unfolds, the camera kind of floats through and wraps around, and you see the action happening from both sides of the battle, and you see the losses that are happening from both sides. Like the friends are falling on both sides, and you see how the people react to that, from both sides of the battle. It's really kind of a powerful, albeit it's also very graphic, but scene that I really hadn't seen done that way before. So anytime I see something new in cinema or something that I haven't seen, it always, perks me up and really. I was glued to that movie after that.
Oh, that's a really great. Now that you're mentioning it, I'm running it through my head that I didn't jump at. But now that you're mentioning that, that was a perfect tool, and of course it got the cinematography Oscar. I'm wondering if it's going to be like precedence. They're going to limit two or three terms of Emmanuel Lubezki winning the Oscar.
Yeah.
Feeling both sides and the director not taking a one point of view on who's dying. And yes, that performance was brilliant. And there's been obviously I've talked to so many people who skip it over that they heard he ate carcass, and it's like a 15-second shot. So I just tell people, you're missing the Mona Lisa because you don't like a painting that you have to pass to see the Mona Lisa.
Right,
So I
right.
get that. But go ahead, continue, Sean.
No, so yeah, I mean, anyways, I was kind of leaning towards it for Best Picture as well, just because of the scope and really the commitment of the filmmakers and what they did to create that film. Not that there wasn't others that really went through a lot as well to create their films, but I do understand, you know, why Spotlight took it, and I'm actually very, you know, happy that a film like that can get the recognition like that. And I was blown away reading in, you know, I was reading online, but reading about one of the Vatican papers or whatever reported on the film and it winning the Oscar. And even it, you know, backlogged to when they reviewed the film, they never were like opposing that movie, which, that fascinated me and blew me away that they supported that film. And then when it won the Oscar, they had a great write-up on it saying, this is not an anti-Catholic film. This is an anti-deplorable acts film, you know, like, right, and that all of us as Catholics should be supporting this film. And the current Pope is really cracking down on all that, you know. So it was a very cool thing to read about that film. And then that made me really just kind of overjoyed that it won Best Picture, because it did exactly what they set out to do, exactly what the filmmakers wanted to happen by creating that film. They accomplished that on the highest level you could possibly, not the Oscar, mind you, but what they were trying to do by raising awareness and getting a voice behind this, you know, epically heinous problem. And, you know, you couldn't shed more light on it than winning the Oscar. So that actually, you know, at first I was kind of like, I thought Revenant was maybe the better movie as far as a movie being created. But then I went, no, you know what? Scratch that. I really am actually happy that took Best Picture.
That kind of makes me think of going to take Best Picture and 12 Years a Slave did. And I thought, same thing, putting out the education. And for me, Spotlight, I had this really odd fortune where I had a surgery. So nothing, all I could do was go to the movies, poor me. And so I actually saw the every Best Picture nominee except Mad Max because of an eye condition I have in the same like 10-day period. So I was able to be in it and evaluate and think. And I agree exactly, your assessment is dead on with Spotlight. I think The Revenant, has been a filmmaker yourself and experience I've had with making films. When we think of what a crew had to go through to pull that off, that no matter how good the craft services table was, it didn't make up for the it didn't matter if you got to walk by Leonardo DiCaprio or party with him if he was cool. That was just like, looked like a hellacious shoot where there's all those stories about people leaving it and changing. But your assessment was Spotlight. I felt the same way when it won. Just for me, briefly, I had a little bit of a, we had such a thing about any form of diversity that I just would like to know that it wasn't to say we're even against this. Like, there's just so many issues that the Oscars had to address that it was like one more thing where we can't be seeming like we're remotely in support of this. But yeah, you're right. That was definitely the Best Picture. You know, I don't know if you saw Room.
That's painful. I mean, it's a fantastic performances in the movie. Just that, you know, it's like, wow. I mean, you know, talk about. And, you know, it reminds me of, when I first heard about this movie, I thought it was based on that young woman who survived all those years in captivity and had a child with her abuser and blah, blah, blah. But I guess it wasn't, you know, but I was thinking that was that story. Apparently it wasn't. I don't know if it was based on it, but it wasn't that exact story. But I, you know, just obviously, incredibly tough subject matter to tackle, and you know, I mean, there are just so many good performances. Like, that's why I keep coming back to with the controversy. It's like, you know, there was so many amazing performances. I almost feel like we need more nominees because, and I'm not saying that some of these performances should have won out over some of the performances of other ethnicities, because I do feel like there's no reason why some of those nominations shouldn't have been in place of some of the ones that existed. But I also feel at the same time, they all should have been nominated because, you know, they're just, everyone was so on point in these nominations. There was not, to me, everything I saw as far as acting wise and as far as cinematography and as far as directing and those kind of on the larger scale of nominations, that everybody was deserved a nomination. I just wish that there would be more diversity in those nominations and or more nominations in general, because all these people really deserve to be recognized. I even thought Will Smith deserved to be recognized for his performance in that movie. I thought it was actually a tremendous in Concussion. I thought it was a tremendous performance. And Idris and you know, there was some performances really, 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 you know, deserve to be honored and to be recognized. So I kind of, you know, I go back and forth on that. I'm like, you know, these people didn't not deserve the nominations, but there is, you know, there does need to be more diversity, period. And just all of it in hiring and you know, and not just African-American, you know, it becomes this white and black issue. It's really dumb. It needs to be, you know, where's the representation for all ethnicities? And hopefully we can get one day when we're all just such a melting pot and none of it matters anyways. And that will happen. That's the way we're evolving. But, you know, I am all for diversifying and because that's the world we live in. It's very diverse, so it should be represented in our entertainment as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was really looking at when you're talking about performances that didn't get in or not, like I was thinking Michael Keaton was going to pull off a supporting actor in Spotlight, even though Mark Ruffalo just so... And I think, what is it, The Godfather is the only, and Godfather 2 is the only movie to have, like, three nominations in an acting category.
Right,
the same,
for one film, yeah.
And I think that, you know, I was fortunate to see all of the male performances. I missed one Best Actress, and I missed one... on the female side, the woman's side. And like when we were talking about diversity, I thought there was just such a diversity of choices. I mean, there could have been two more Best Pictures. So I will say, and I'm not taking a stance as white or black because I don't believe in that. We're all just people. I will say that I felt Straight Outta Compton, because we're given 10 choices for Best Picture and they only picked 8, that would have been a worthy... because I remember those times. They were exactly how I remember them. They were exactly how they were explained to me. I remember.
Yeah, I don't understand that when they can have 10, like they expanded that and they did that. I don't understand how, you know, that we didn't fill those other two nominations. Like, give me a break. Put two more nominations in there. There is absolutely deserving films. Straight Outta Compton was one of them. Like, there was a couple others that really easily could have been in there. So I really don't understand that. And I think that's probably where some of that flack has got to be coming from as well. You know, there's, you know, it's just, you know, it's interesting because there was some things that did happen this year that blew me away, like Mad Max, for example, and myself coming from a stunt background and working in the stunt side of the industry as well. You know, I was blown away by how many Oscars that won and how many nominations it had. And that actually made me proud in that respect. Like, here is like a straight up action flick.
Right.
I mean, it's deeper than that, of course, but I actually really enjoyed Fury Road. And I was just super proud that movie got the recognition it did.
Basically win everything but director and picture that it was nominated for.
It did. I mean, it really did amazing. But then on the same flip side, I was kind of like, you know, in some of these same categories, I didn't understand why, you know, even something like Star Wars wasn't nominated in a lot of the categories. You know, I'm like, how could you not, you know, you know, not being like coming from a Star Wars geek standpoint, I'm just coming from a technical standpoint, like, you know, costuming or any of those type of things. And I think maybe part of that problem might be is that people have grown so used to the idea that all these characters are CG and all that kind of stuff, not thinking about, you know, the art direction on the new Star Wars movie. It was unreal. And the wardrobe, like I said, and the makeup, you know, because a lot of this stuff was actually practical, but maybe people didn't necessarily know that or understand that. And it's like, if you look at the actual technical stuff that went into creating that film, it 100% should have had nominations in a ton of those categories and didn't. Even if you don't want to go the best picture and all those routes, the technical side of the stuff, I feel like it was greatly underrepresented and should have been in the fight for a lot of those awards. But, you know, you can't win them all. You can't, you know.
I was shocked that it was shut out. I was shocked it didn't win anything. I was thinking, that, great, this is going to be it sweeps all the technical awards, made $2 billion.
Yeah, I mean, nothing. To me, that's like, it's silly. It's just really silly because there's a lot of those artists that are right there and they're doing all that work and they deserve, you know, might be the stigma of the name of the project or something like that. But when you have a movie that is the third highest grossing of all time in the world, by far the biggest domestic ever film, you know, sometimes maybe that actually can hurt a film. But it's like, look, dude, it's so popular that shouldn't affect the and should actually support the work that all these artists put into it. And to me, that was a little bit of a shame. But I mean, not the biggest controversy. Obviously, there's much bigger battles to be fought for that kind of stuff. But you know, I did kind of feel that a little bit. Maybe that was my inner Star Wars nerd. I don't know. But I was kind of like, oh, man, this should have been nominated for all of those because, you know, I personally know some of the people that put the work into that. And, you know, it's like, man, oh, man, what they did was amazing. And people don't even realize what they did, you know. They just look at it and they just, you know, take it for granted. And it's like.
Yeah, no, I'm so glad you mentioned that. The hundreds, I mean, my friend's a previs artist and he was on Divergent, Godzilla, and, you know, to know that it's 3 years before, 2 years, and
yeah, it's amazing.
Stunts, there needs to be a stunt Oscar. It's like enough already.
100% needs to be a stunt Oscar. You know, even if it's just in, to me, there should be a couple categories, just hands down, at least two. And it should be like for the stunt coordinator, right? That should be 100% a category. Then maybe like a best, you know, ensemble stunt team or something like that. You know what I mean? Where it's, you know, the best that can recognize the best action that has been in the film, because it takes, you know, tremendous team of people to pull that stuff off, which that was the other thing with like Fury Road winning so much. It's like, look at this film. You cannot have that film, period, without the amazing stunt coordinator and the team that did all the stunts on that film. It was stunts from beginning to end. And to not have a category for the people that basically were responsible for that entire film is just asinine. It's just crazy.
Steven, on the production side, it's ADs keeping things in track, and then it's first AD who's in charge of, I would have not wanted to be in charge of all that safety and the set. That stuff into where the whole cinematography VFX debate that has been evolving in the last years of, you know, Emmanuel Lubezki, or no, it was Life of Pi was the one. They won the VFX Oscar and watched it from their closed offices that they were packing up. And so It was like, who, you know, the cinematographer didn't lose his business and his job. So there are some interesting things to break down. And I like that you mentioned this because you do have that writer, producer, director aspect. So with that, I would love to get what you think about director, because I thought this was one of the most diverse set of films. Again, I can't speak for Fury Road, but when I look at Room, production standpoint, when I know what The Revenant is, when I know what Balancing Spotlight is, and then The Big Short to handle those actors, what did you kind of feel was the best directing job at heart, the bones of what directing is?
Well, I'll tell you this. Here's kind of how I view it. I mean, The Big Short, for one, trying to organize all those pieces, you know, is amazing. So, but let me say this. The two hardest things that I've ever experienced in production is, and it has to do with locations. So it's where you film something. The second hardest thing I've ever had to shoot in was water in the sand, like on a beach. And it sounds like, oh, you just go down to the beach and shoot something. Oh, my Lord. It is, first of all, it wreaks havoc on all the talent. It wreaks havoc on all the crew. It wreaks havoc on all your equipment. It's impossible to try and move stuff and carry things. It's just a nightmare to work in sand. And pretty much, you know, and that mixed with water. That's the combo that sucks. Like, just sand, you know, sucks, but you can get over it. Just water, that can kind of suck, but, you know, there's things you can do, get towels, whatever. But mixing the two is, you know, and everybody's got rashes on their ankles and wherever else you can imagine. You know, it's just terrible. It's really hard to shoot in on the beach in that kind of environment. But the one that's way worse than that, it's way worse because everything in your body wants to shut down when you start freezing, is the snow. Okay. Right. It is a nightmare to shoot in the snow, and to shoot for months and months and months in the snow is just basically the most horrific thing I could possibly imagine going through. So as far as just, you know, that, just for those reasons alone, I cannot say enough about The Revenant and him winning Best Director. I totally cannot fault him. But with what you're saying with diversity, every single one of those people in that category could have won, and I would not have been disappointed. And would not have gone, oh, that's BS, because all of them deserve to win it. It's one of those years where, and some of the other films that weren't nominated, like we discussed before, they could have also won, and I would not have blinked an eye, because it's just really one of those years where, yeah, I've been as a film fan, I have been ecstatic this year with the amount of content and the quality of content that's come out. It's like a field day. It makes me worried about next year. I hope it's not going to be a dry year. Yeah. There's no good film. This year has just been fantastic. I mean, it's just been, you know, a plethora of amazing artists, you know, getting their art out there.
Well, I was some surprises for me was he's always up for a screenplay. It was Hateful Eight not having a screenplay nomination. I thought Jennifer Jason Leigh was amazing. I was actually going with Kate Winslet or Jennifer Jason Leigh, so I was surprised when Alicia Vikander won. I thought it was deserving.
I thought Jennifer Jason Leigh was unbelievable in that movie.
Yeah.
And I think that movie suffered from a couple things. And again, it's just the amount of amazing films that were there. Like, if you look at The Hateful Eight, like, I saw Revenant first before Hateful Eight. So when I watched Hateful Eight, I'm looking at these landscape shots, and all I can think of is how The Revenant did it better. Even though they're amazingly beautiful shots, shot on 70mm, you know, you're just going, it is epic, but there's, I don't know what it was about Revenant, but it made me, my dad even said this, it made him feel cold while watching it. Like, he was like freezing, even though the heater was on in the house or whatever when he was watching it. I felt the same way. I was in there with them. I was 100% in it. And, you know, just so visceral. It's one of the most visceral movies I've ever seen. But I still enjoyed The Hateful Eight, but I just think, you know, again, it could have been nominated for script. The dialogue he writes is always amazing. Yeah, I was surprised that wasn't nominated there. But, you know, just fell victim of competing against just one of the best years of talent, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, I mean, the cinematography, like Sicario, I mean, obviously, you know, Deakins could shoot a fly on a table and it would be Oscar-worthy. But what I liked when you mentioned you felt cold was with Sicario, when they went down in Mexico. I'm of Mexican descent, so this is not derogatory at all. But literally, I started to feel uncomfortable the way Mexico has that kind of smell to it. And I was why am I feeling, and then I was like, this is Deacon's putting me in Juarez, like, through his lens, whatever he's doing, and I'm doing like that category. I mean, you just had such great cinematographers, whether they're hot now or they have multiple Oscars in the past, like Robert Richardson, or my gosh, Roger Deakins, 13 Oscar nominations. You know, are they going to really just give him one when it's nomination 55? The one thing I would really like to get your opinion on, especially as an actor, I mentioned this before you came on. I am just not a Sylvester Stallone fan. I respect Rocky. Network was a better movie, so I'm always a grump about how that took Best Picture from Network. But how did you feel with that category? I mean, Mark Rylance, I felt, deserved it in Bridge of Spies, but as an actor, how did you feel with Stallone? And the question here is, you're an actor. You come on for a script with me, and let's just say we've been talking about it for a year. So you've had a year to throw around ideas and to come back to me. Stallone had 40 years to prep for what he had to do in this movie. How do you feel about that as an actor? Like, what does that make you think when it comes to the nominations?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he really has had 40 years. Because, you know, you move on. As an actor, you put those things away. You know what I mean? Not truly all the way away, but you put them away. So you're not thinking in that headspace. You're not thinking like Rocky for all those years. You know what I mean? But he's obviously had more time with that. I actually really enjoyed his performance in Creed. To me, it was one of his best performances he's done, in my opinion. But I'm actually a really big fan of the original Rocky. It's one of the films, and just how it got made and how persistent he was to get it done, it's one of the main influences for me as a filmmaker. And you know, wanting to get into doing this was seeing somebody in the position he was and how high it rose. It's just very inspirational. I thought Network was great too, so I'm not, you know, I don't know where I stand on that debate, but I don't know. I thought Sylvester's performance in this was amazing, but you could not deny the other gentleman's performance in Bridge of Spies. He was unbelievable. So I wasn't like disappointed that he didn't win, but yeah, as far as like an actor is concerned, I haven't had the blessing of coming back and doing sequels and revisiting a character that I've played as of yet. So I don't really know that, but I do know that those characters, like a few that I have played, you know, when we're done, I put those away and they're done. And it actually takes a lot to get back into them and kind of find that headspace again.
I don't know.
I've been telling people, like, I actually wasn't paying attention that Mark Rylance was up for Bridge of Spies. And as soon as they announced him, and I loved Stallone and Creed. I didn't want him to win, but when they announced him, and it would spoil to say what it is, but what I loved about him is those four or five times where all he said was one line, and it made you forget that Tom Hanks was on screen. It was just the way Room had the simplicity of a camera, an actress, and a script, which is why it was only nominated for director, actress, script. It was that bare bones of, we don't need to play up anything. And for an actor to actually, who's, to my knowledge, obviously not as known as Tom Hanks, make Tom Hanks look like the day player for that brief couple of seconds. That's where I was like, okay, this made me think of like last year with J.K. Simmons. That was just such a great performance where it was like, why was there nominees? So I kind of thought, oh, he was nominated. Well, why did I ever even think about Christian Bale or Tom Hardy or Mark Ruffalo, which were all worthy. Yeah. I mean, Brie Larson, I seen Joy, I'd seen Carol, but Brie Larson was who I was going for. I was obviously going for Leo. I did want Room to win Best Picture only because I wanted that simplicity that we've had this last couple years of 3D effects, prequels, sequels. I just wanted the Best Picture to come back to what Charlie Chaplin was, which was him and a camera and a story.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But, you know, it still got its due, and Brie Larson will now be out there. We have a nice little 4 or 5 minutes left, so I want to thank you for your time, but if there's anything that you'd like to mention that you're working on, just feel free to give it a plug right now, website, blog, and then after you're done, I'll wrap it up.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I'm working on a bunch of cool new projects and already existing projects. I would love for people to check out 6 Feet Down Under. That's a show that we just released recently, and we are currently shooting a bunch of new content for our YouTube channel. We're building that up. So definitely check out our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/user/trulyindiestudios. Or you can just look up Truly Indie Studios in the search YouTube search box, and you'll find us there, or type in 6 Feet Down Under and you'll also find that show there, and in turn find our YouTube channel. So that's what I'm pushing right now, is just building that up. We're doing a bunch of new content, some fun little shows, we're doing some spoof commercials like SNL style. We're doing our bigger pieces like the 6 Feet Down Under action series. And then of course we're always working on different films and stuff like that. And I've got a couple of new episodes of Superpower Beatdown that are coming out from Bat in the Sun, which I, of course, stunt coordinate and second unit direct on. So definitely check those out. And also 6feetdownunder.com, which is the number 6, and then spell out feetdownunder.com.
Okay. Well, yeah, please, thank you for letting us know about that. And again, congratulations on the views. And for listeners of our show, you can go into the archives. I reviewed 6 Feet Down Under a day or two before it came out. So you can take a listen to that. That'll give you my thoughts, like I'm some great authoritarian. It's so hard to recommend people to read your reviews, because it's just like, I always wonder if people's like, who's this bozo? But yeah, check that out and support this show. Great indie filmmakers that love the process and appreciate the process. So with that, Sean, I want to say thank you again and have a great afternoon. And you know how to get a hold of me. Let me know next time you need some promotional help, or if we're going to start having people on to just review something that they've seen or a Netflix pick. So something you're excited about and you want to take 5 minutes at lunch to share with us, just let me know and we'll make it work.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Excellent. Take care and tell Guy I said hello.
I will do. Thank you.
Bye. And that was Sean Piccinino, accomplished producer, writer, director, stunt coordinator. Great opinions there about the Oscars. He brought up some really cool, interesting things that I'm very thankfully brought up. I was not thinking to ask them, so always happy when that happens. Once again, it's been a great joy to be here. Whatever you do, enjoy your day, but make sure and watch a good movie. Aloha.